really a lot of this is keeping people on the same page, managing relationships so that everyone feels, you know, heard and a part of the conversation, and then really allowing others to execute the goals or initiatives that you're helping establish.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com.
Herd Software aligns your data. Guilt aligns your people. GetGuilt.com.
Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents.
Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week.
Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io.
Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I'm the host of the podcast. Joining me in our illustrious podcast studios for this week's episode is Dr. Brent Sexton. Dr. Sexton's been a veterinarian, associate veterinarian with Suaday Animal Health and Production here for a few years now, Brent. And we're at the Mashoffs, a place that you and I both are an alumni of here prior to that. Brent, we've known each other since you've been in vet school. I really appreciate you coming back on the podcast here. And we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that's communication, particularly communication with the folks that work at the farm and the production teammates that we work so closely with. Let's start, Brent, with why that is so important, right? You know, why is it so critical that we as veterinarians and anybody who interacts with a farm does so with very effective communication skills?
Absolutely. And thanks for the opportunity to speak with you in the audience. It's always a lot of fun. And so the importance of communication, I think it's, you know, we all understand, you know, how vital it is. But really, from a veterinarian standpoint, we don't, you know, and not to make it sound the right way, but, you know, we don't often do a lot on the farm. You know, we're there once a month, every other month, something like that. Have a lot of, you know, hopefully good ideas, you know, ways to help support and help the farm improve. But really, that communication is a lot of time geared around when you're on farm of helping them achieve the goals of the farm, you know, helping the farm staff do their job better. And then the veterinarian, when they're not on farm, you're working with other stakeholders. You're working with, you know, production teams, whether you're in a production system and the supervisor, regional manager, or if you're in a independent consulting, you're working with the owner and or the shareholders of the farm. And so really a lot of this is keeping people on the same page, managing relationships so that everyone feels, you know, heard and a part of the conversation, and then really allowing others to execute the goals or initiatives that you're helping establish.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Brent, you gave a presentation at our annual meeting of the American Association of Swine Veterinarians here recently, and I think you got asked to do so because you've got broad perspective on being a veterinarian in different situations. You've been a production veterinarian at the Mashoffs, just like I have been. You've also been in private practice here for a few years now, where you're in a little bit different role, right? You're kind of a third party. You're truly a consultant. What's your experience with communication in those two different roles? Do you need to take any different approaches there, or is it's all just communication and the right way to do it's going to be the same no matter what type of role you're in?
Yeah, in the veterinary world, I feel like sometimes there's the idea that there's this huge divide between production and consulting, you know, and there's the stereotypes that go along with it. In reality, a lot of it is largely the same, you know. The Mashoffs as a veterinarian versus at Suda as a veterinarian, my job description is pretty similar. I just tend to have, I had one client when I was at the Mashoffs, and I had, you know, several here at Suda. So at its core, communication is a lot of those aspects stay the same. There are some differences, you know, in say how leadership hierarchies are established and who should be involved. You know, in a production system, is usually pretty well spelled out. You know, it's clearly defined whose responsibilities are where, versus in independent production, or, you know, it could be widely variable. And some guys, you know, you might have an absentee owner of sorts, or you might have very involved owners, and they might say do the pumping, and they're kind of the unofficial HR, and they may wear a lot of hats. And so there's just a lot of, that's probably one of the biggest differences. Another would be just kind of some of the reporting. When you're in a, you know, in your independent consulting, you know, you're sending out your vet reports, and it's really kind of up to you and the client. You know, a lot of times I've got kind of my established system, and if they have special requests or things, we try and accommodate with how we send reports out and who's involved. In a production system, they may even have their own report format that you're filling out, and it's more of a, I don't want to say a check the box, but it's a, you know, it's a form that you're filling out. And so there's some substantial differences that way, but still the core remains of your goals there. So it's, again, there's differences, but just a tremendous amount of similarities.
The end goal is certainly the same. You're trying to share your ideas. To your point, we as vets, we typically aren't going to the same farm 3, 4, 5 days in a row. So if we want things to change, we've got to lay out exactly what that is. On the consulting side of it, Brent, you know, you mentioned kind of the organizational chart drives the communication in a production system, and that's a little easier to navigate. When you've got those ambiguous situations in a production situation, or maybe a new client, how do you define the audience for who wants to know what and when? How do you know exactly who to communicate with, how to communicate with them, and not stub your toe in the process of figuring that stuff out?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the, I think the best ways is just to ask. A lot of times, you know, thinking of clients that, you know, a father, son, and they're involved with the sow farm, but they got, you know, they're not the manager. And so in a case like that, it's a pretty small group. And so, yeah, this is who we want involved, but maybe they have a nutritionist, maybe they have others. So when I come in the questions, it's just, hey, you know, how do you want me to communicate this so that I don't step on someone's toes? When in doubt, I tend to, you know, try and over communicate. If it's people that, you know, especially I think of in my time with the Mashoffs and the production system side, you know, working up the chain, include them on the email, send me your reports. And then it got to the point where, I trust you. You don't need to send them to me anymore. Okay, that's fine. So having communication around your communication, I suppose, is a kind of a long-winded way to say it. But ask, be open to feedback, either direct or indirect, and be willing to, you know, adjust and accommodate.
We've all got our preferred communication styles, both in the way we like to receive information, but also particularly in the way we like to share it. You know, folks from my generation were phone call people. People from other generations, maybe they prefer email, maybe they prefer text, you know, and maybe the generation has nothing to do with it. But how important is it, Brent, to know yourself, know your own communication tendencies, and then adjust those behaviors based on the situation?
Yeah, it's absolutely critical that you as an individual understand, you know, your communication preferences. And so I think of, you know, things like the DISC assessments and personality assessments like that, where it can, a lot of those can give you feedback on how, you know, strategies for communicating better, because, you know, a high D dominant personality can be really terse and, you know, just pounding away at it. You know, we got to get this done, move faster. And that can be off-putting to others. And that undermines your goal. So I think things like that, to be aware of yourself and how others perceive you, can be really important. And then just two of, as you build relationships, understanding their personalities and their communication preferences of, yeah, the text message versus phone call versus email is a great like example, because there's some who are, you know, want everything in email. It's easy to keep a, you know, almost, you know, a digital paper trail of it versus text message, get a rapid response. And so I would say trying to be consistent, at least within the clients and stuff, so you're not trying to check, ah, man, we talked about this and now I have to look at my text messages, I have to look at my emails, things like that can definitely make it a challenge.
Brent, I want to ask you a tough question here at the end, but AI has become so, you know, involved in our day-to-day life, and you probably already know where I'm going with the question. You know, I get more and more emails that are formulated with obvious support from AI, right? Some of them kind of copy and paste and some of them more nuanced, but particularly when you're talking with somebody that doesn't speak English as their first language, I feel a lot of folks, you know, use AI to help them with the grammar and spell checking and that stuff. But my question, Brent, is for you personally, do you have any tips on how you use AI to support your communication and how you avoid maybe overdoing it so somebody doesn't think, oh man, this message doesn't sound like Brent. It doesn't sound genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. AI is quite a tool. I don't know if it's good or not yet. You know, it's and certain applications lend itself better. I think the big thing is that it doesn't become your crutch to just, these are my three bullet points and off you send it. Where I feel like I've had the best success with it, and it's limited, is I'll do 90% of the work, put it in there, let it polish it, and then it's, you know, read through that and make sure it's still conveying the things that I want it to say, that we haven't had the hallucination effects of it, the poster with a guy with the third arm on it, and stuff like that. So I think it's a tool, but we have to, it's not a replacement, it's to augment, is probably the simplest way that I, to put how I feel about it.
Very good. Tremendous information, Brent. Communication's terribly important to what we do, and you do a good job communicating about it. So I really appreciate you giving the presentation at ASV and then also coming on the show and sharing this information with the audience.
Yeah, thanks. It was a little nerve-wracking, you know, to present on this, because if you're going to talk about talking good, you better talk good about talking good. So that's the goal. I hope I accomplished the goal. And I do appreciate the opportunity to present at ASV and on the podcast with you.
I think you did great, Brent. If the audience thinks you did great, they can tell us that by giving us a 5-star review. You know, it is free to listen to this podcast. You get great information. Brent and I are asking you to do one thing. If this was helpful, go give us a 5-star review. All you got to do is click 5 stars. That's all you got to do. If you would do that, that will help drive more people to this podcast, more people to this good information. And both Brent and I would greatly appreciate that. For Dr. Brent Sexton, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. It's been a pleasure to chat with you today, and we certainly hope you have a great rest of your day.